This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Grace Marie Turner, president of the Galen Institute, one of the leading healthcare policy organizations in the country. We want to get her final thoughts on a variety of issues related to the healthcare debate as we approach what appears to be a final vote in the House of Representatives on Sunday afternoon, either on the Senate bill itself or on a rule that would, by default, pass the Senate bill. And Grace Marie, thanks so much for being with us.
It's a pleasure, as always, Greg. Thank you.
So many different aspects of this that you and I have gone over the past year, and really years going back to the Clinton administration. But let's try and break them down quickly one at a time. First of all, if this gets through, forget about the fixes and whether or not that changes later on in the Senate and through reconciliation and so forth. But if this passes, how much or how little will government expand when it comes to our health care?
Oh, it will be enormous. I mean, you really have the prospect of the government taking over one-sixth of the economy. The government already pays for about half of the $2.5 trillion that we'll spend this year on health care, and this will allow the federal government to even more strictly control all of the rest of health care delivery in this country. It truly is a government takeover of our health sector. And what's going to happen is health insurance companies will quickly find that they're just not able to operate under the rules that the government's going to set up, you know, basically saying that they have to provide lots more services. They can't charge people for those services. They have to charge the same premiums whether people are sick or well, signing up for health insurance just when they need care. And they're not going to be able to survive that. So I think we're going to wind up saying that the same thing happens to the health insurance industry that happened to the mortgage market, the financial services sector, and ultimately the automobile industry.
What does it mean for the care of the average patient?
What it means is that we're going to be headed toward a European-style government-dominated health sector in which government officials decide what care we're going to have under what circumstances. We'll start to see a reduction in innovation and the innovative care that people value so much in this country. We're going to start to see rationing. We're going to start to see waiting lines. And probably even more immediately, we're going to see the best doctors leaving the practice of medicine. We saw a survey out earlier this week that said that almost half of doctors have said, if this bill passes, I'm out of here. I get my kids through college, and that's it. I quit the practice of medicine, and we will very likely lose decades of medical services when people are really at the top of their careers saying, I'm just not going to put up with this bureaucracy, and increasingly the threats of federal agents coming after them for violations of these incredible number of tens of thousands of pages of new federal rules and regulations that will come from this bill.
Let's talk about the money aspect of this. First of all, obviously a huge debate between Republicans and Democrats with dueling analyses of the CBO score on this. Deficits, what's the impact?
Well, you know, they say, oh, we're so happy because this is going to reduce the deficit by $138 billion over 10 years. Well, that's about 3 weeks' worth of spending for the federal government, A, and B, they are really cooking the books to come up with that number. They're, once again, counting 10 years' worth of taxes and 6 years' worth of spending. They're pretending that Medicare is going to be slashed much further than to the bone, 21% cuts in payments to doctors and hospitals that will cause doctors and hospitals to go out of business if they go into effect. No Congress is willing to have Medicare recipients basically not be able to find a physician to see them, but that's what will happen if these cuts go into effect. So the cuts will not be sustained. The president is pushing off tax increases to a future presidency to pretend that a future president, a future Congress, is willing to raise taxes in order to... So these numbers are just really fiction. And anybody who votes for this bill on the assumption that this is going to reduce the deficit, you know, I've got a bridge I want to sell them, because this is just, it just doesn't meet the laugh test that you're going to add 30 million more people to the federal rolls, that you're going to put price controls on this industry, and the federal government's going to save money. There is absolutely nowhere, anywhere in recorded history that in this country that we've seen that.
We know, Grace Marie, that some of the benefits don't kick in for a few years, but the taxes do pretty much when the gavel comes down, or at least when the president signs the bill. Who's going to get hit with higher taxes?
Well, the middle class is going to get hit by higher taxes. It's going to start to cause people to not be able to find jobs. And I think we're going to see the impact almost immediately, Greg. And people are saying, oh, well, you know, the thing that's driving me crazy today is that people are saying, well, it's got to go back to the Senate. No. If the House votes, if they get 216 votes for this bill on Sunday, Obamacare becomes the law of the land. It's the House passing the Senate bill. The president will sign that into law. This bill of fixes, this 153-page bill that they released yesterday, that's a second health reform bill that the House is hoping will get through the Senate, may or may not. I think the chances are it was not going to get through the Senate. But the Obamacare will become the law of the land. And I've heard that the president is wanting to go up to the Capitol as soon as the gavel falls so he can sign this bill right away to avoid the fact that there could be that the risk of an injunction to stop it because of the constitutional challenge on how they're planning to pass it. So Obamacare could become the law of the land on Sunday night, and we will start to see changes and consequences and tax increases almost immediately.
Grace Marie, you've alluded to it in a number of different ways already, but a major focal point of this debate has been over Medicare. You mentioned the dollars cut away that are not going to solvency. What about the type of care that seniors can expect?
Well, we already know that seniors are having a very hard time finding a physician who will see them, who will take a new patient. We're starting to see restrictions on access to certain tests, to certain drugs, particularly expensive chemotherapy. I have a friend who was going through chemotherapy treatment, and there was a particular drug she needed not covered by Medicare. You're going to see a lot more of that. You cannot cut $500 billion out of the Medicare program and expect that seniors are not going to see reductions in access to care as a result of it.
Grace Marie, unfortunately, our time is up, and we appreciate so much you being with us every step along the way in this debate. If it passes, it's not going to be because of a lack of effort on your part.
And it's also not going to be over. I mean, this battle is going to continue. The states, I think, are going to start to say, we're out of here. We're not going to participate in this. There are going to be legal battles. It is going to tear our country apart. It absolutely breaks my heart that there is such a political will to do this in opposition to the will of the American people. I've never seen anything like this, Greg, and the battles are not over.
Grace Marie, thanks so much for being with us. Grace Marie Turner, president of the Galen Institute. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.